I think it's a strip show, dance show.
Work there, dude.
Welcome back, guys, on today's show. How did this plane get flooded in the air? And new reborn babies are only $6,000. Get yours now. And also, a cruise boat leaves without its passengers. And the more reason to eat your veggies. All this and much, much more will be discussed here on Deacon Live as we crawl through the stories you might have missed over the next 60 minutes or so from your news feed. How are you? How are things? How are things going? I think I messed up that beginning a little bit, but you guys get the idea. 60-minute show going over the stuff that's happened over the last week. So let's get into it. I have been banned again. Jesus Christ, Facebook, make up your fucking mind. Now, for every podcast we do, we have a matching video that's over on YouTube. We tried doing the live stream, and unfortunately, because of what we have going on here in the studio, I can't do I can't do 15 things at once. So you have to see the show as it's recorded live over on YouTube once it's done and it's posted up. But for every podcast we do, we have a matching video, and you can see this in real time and all the stuff. If I talk about it here on the air, if it's got pictures or videos or anything, you can see that as well as me here in the studio waving to you, and hopefully you're waving back to me. That's Deacon Live over on YouTube. Now, when I say I've been banned again, my personal Facebook page is not banned. All the other shows that I do are not banned as well. What I've been banned from is posting anything on other people's pages. And you're like, well, you probably spam them. No, I don't spam them. For the most part, I don't. No, but what I do is if I have for example, I'll take the Deacon Live podcast and I'll go into a podcast room where it's an open group, it's an open forum, and I'll say, hey guys, you know, if you like this, our thousands of followers are liking this, maybe you'll like it too, you know, like, share, and spread. So I'll post a couple things in there. And then I also work for Prophet Radio. Now, Prophet Radio is a alternative music station that streams 24/7. That's prophetradio.com, prophetradio.com. And you can check them out. Proud sponsors of this show and all the other fine broadcasting that goes on here in this studio. So to show a little love, I do a little work for them. And I post, you know, like Facebook traction to get people to go over to the website. So you got to come up with something that sticks out a little bit. Now, the reason why I say I've been banned is I push the envelope. I push the limits as far as what I can put on there that's eye-catching or going to grab your attention. Let me switch back to camera one here. Let me get into this. The reason why I've been banned and the reason why I have a hard time. No, it's not the first time I've been banned. I've been banned several times. And I'm like, okay, Facebook, all right, make up your mind. So I posted something on the Prophet Radio Facebook page, and I said, you know, here's the picture, and it went through. I'm fighting this one. December 17th, 2022, I posted a picture, and the picture I'm going to show you this picture. And now's a great chance for you to jump on over to let me get switched back here. See us on the Facebook page or the YouTube page. Sorry, I got 15 things going on. I'm an octopus. So I'm going to switch to camera four. This is the picture that I posted on the Prophet Radio website. Now, if you're listening to us on the air, essentially what it is, it is a female woman. It's kind of redundant, isn't it? It's a woman. She's naked, but the way the picture shot, you can't tell. What they say in the business, in the actual radio business, is don't show any pink parts. You don't see her boob. You don't see her nether regions. All you see is her face, her arms, and from her knees down, because I've got the Prophet Radio logo in the center of it, you know, blocking, almost like when you watch those cop videos and someone runs around naked and they get their shirt ripped off, you know, at like a cat fight or something like that, and they put that black bar over it. So I put the Prophet Radio logo over the important parts. Now, this was already approved in December of 2022. So I posted this again. You know, hey, we got a lot of traction from it. Everyone had a good time. Oh, I forgot to tell you, there's a guy naked standing behind her as well. So, but you can't tell that it's even a guy. There's nothing on the other person in the picture except for flesh parts. Like you don't see a nipple. There's no nipples at all between him or her. All you see is like a guy's forearm and the back of his back and half of his leg because of the way the logo's going. So I know this is getting really, really... No, we know exactly what you're trying to do, Deacon. We know exactly. I know, but see, I'm pushing the envelope. Like I said, this was approved in 2022, and I posted again, and I said, nope, we're flagging you. We don't want this on our foundation. They've got, 13-year-old boys that might, or 60-year-old moms that they'll be offended by this or whatever. So the reason why I'm upset, not because of the ban, I'm like, all right, so times change. I don't know if there's some kind of, how you look at the world now as to 2 years ago. But if you look at this, it's left to your interpretation. It's like art. This is not art, but this is left up to your interpretation. Your brain, Facebook's brain, is filling in the gap and saying, well, that looks like two people having sex. No, it doesn't. It looks like it, but there is no sexual activity involved. Now, the reason why I tell you that is to tell you this. So there's a woman on Facebook, and she must think that her shit does not stink. She's got one of those blue check marks. Actually, it's a white check mark with a blue circle on it. And I was like, well, what does it take to get that? Let's start there. It's $15 a month for you to pay Facebook so you can have that blue circle with the white check mark in it that you're verified. So that means you're committed. They've got your account, they've got your credit card, and you're committed to it. So this woman posts a picture of herself, and I was like going, well, this looks like a classy woman. I look at her. She's probably maybe just turning 60. She's a quote unquote dance instructor. She's been a dance instructor since 86. I was going through like her thing. I'm like going, why would she post this type of picture? So she did a headshot. She did a headshot and posted it on her Facebook page. And I'm friends with her on Facebook. Third party, Kevin Bacon type deal. And she's got a very, very low cut blouse on. And it's one of those, I'm a realtor type, if you're watching me on the camera here, I'm a realtor type person. And she's got one arm on top of the other one, but they're not crossed. They're not like, I'm cutting you off. Her hand is slightly raised and her dress, her blouse, because it's only from, it's what they call a quarter shot in the biz, kind of like the quarter shot I have here on the camera. And she has got this blouse that is, and I'm switching to the camera four now, so hopefully she has got this blouse on, no bra, unless it's somewhere, some bra that I don't know of. And she's got a paisley print on it, and you could tell she's old. She's hanging on, man. She is hanging on. But if you look down here, her cleavage is showing. Now, I have nothing wrong with women showing cleavage if it's intended. And when I say intended, some dresses will come right across the center of your chest, and you have cleavage that shows, and it's evenly on one side. The left top of the breast is exposed just like the right top of the breast. This right here, she's got it unbuttoned, one more button more than it should be. And she's got the left side open a little bit. And you can see her boob. I'm doing the thing on my chest, but I'm going to take my mouse here and do it. You can see the split of her boob. And then you could see the bottom of the boob kind of do this upturn a little bit. Now, the only thing that's blocking the pink parts is her shirt and half of her hand. So what is the difference between this picture right here? Because God knows, you don't see anyone else in the picture, but the way her eyes are, the way she's smiling, she's probably looking at a naked man off to the side. Well, that's offensive. That should be taken down. Well, you don't see anything. You don't see a naked person on that she's looking at her. But no, she could be. She could be. This could be something. And if you look at the picture right here, you can see the bottom of her boob, side boob, the inner side boob, and the bottom of her boob. And it was done on purpose. It was absolutely done on purpose because this button right here should be button, or the one below it should be button. But she's a 60 something odd year old dance instructor who's trying to stay young and trying to stay fit or do whatever. God bless her for it. But that picture should be banned too, just like the other one I just showed you, because it actually showed a full half quarter breast, one third of a breast without the nipple part. So that's what I was just pissed about. I was like, oh, God damn it. It's a double standard. I post something of two people completely naked, but you can't tell that there are two people in it. And then she comes up and I actually said, I actually typed in her comments. I said, half your boobs hanging out. And she replied, you're such a gentleman. And, rolling her eyes like that. I'm like, well, no, I'm just saying. I get in trouble all the time for saying stuff. I'm like, I'm just saying, you have your boobs hanging out. Do you think that's a good representation of who you are? Dancing or teaching, 6, 7, 8-year-old girls to learn ballet or whatever she teaches, hip hop dance. I don't know what she teaches, but still, Do you think that's a good image to send to the parents? Hey, look at me. Single dads out there. I also do other stuff on the side. I'm stroking my own breasts here. All right, guys, stick around. We got a lot to talk about. And there's a new thing coming out with sugar. And they're taking the husk and stuff and making things that is going to help maybe separate the borders, build that wall that they're trying to do over there in the South. So stick around. You're listening to Deacon Live right here on Prophet Radio. I'll be right back.
I do not like internet radio.
Prophet Radio.
Prophet Radio.
It's broken.
Like, is this broken really?
You just have to twist the knob a little bit. Twist the knob.
Right.
It's a boom stand. It's kind of like a penis if a penis had knuckles.
Right.
Does your penis have knuckles? I named my penis Knuckles. Penis.
And this is what's happening in your world tonight.
407-448-8800.
Deacon Live now presents you another Bentley record creation. This is Vision Two Turns with his latest song, Embers. For more information, check him out over at prophetradio.com.
I can't wait till I see you again. My heart is broken into pieces of pain. Every day I'm lost in finding my way. I ask the Lord for strength to stay on pace, to carry on in all new ways. The thoughts of your smile still weighs on me. I won't let you go, no, I can't let you go. My mind scattered on the floor, don't think I can heal this.
Up in the sky, just take me away. I'm waiting and waiting tomorrow today. I'm needing your love, not feeling the same. Just shake me awake, I know it's a game. We losing too many, I'm dying inside. It's eating me up, so I'm taking a ride. Emotional pain, the drama is done. My head is on swivel, I'm cocking the gun. My heart is a hole, the quicker the sand.
Welcome back to Deacon Live. We'd love to hear from you. And the way you can be part of the show, you can be podcast famous, is go over to Prophet Radio, proud sponsors of Deacon Live. That's prophetradio.com. At the very bottom of the page is a little blue bar, has a microphone on it, says be heard. Yes, you click on that. If you've got a microphone on whatever device you're listening to us on or at, you can speak right into it. Comes right to our inbox. We broadcast every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Did I say 1 o'clock last time? Let's put it noon. That's a good, if you want to get it in early enough, get it here before Wednesday, 12 o'clock noon, Eastern Standard Time. We are on the East Coast. We broadcast just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, a beautiful little town we like to call Marshall. So we broadcast every Wednesday at noon. Get them in. And you could do it anytime during the week as well. It's just it won't be played on until the very next podcast as well. Now, if you're listening to some older shows, we just celebrated our 10-year, past 10 years of doing the Deacon Live. So if you want to ask us any questions about the last 10 years of shows, just be a little bit more detailed about it. You know, don't just say, what did you mean about cars only driving in one lane? I don't know. Give me a little bit more construct as far as information on that. And you can be anonymous if you want. I don't care. We just want to hear from you as well. Now, speaking of cars, in New Jersey, everyone in New Jersey, pay attention. If you've got an electric car, great. You're helping society. You're helping everyone out. You're trying to lower your footprint, your carbon footprint across the United States here. But unfortunately, New Jersey has just passed a new annual EV, electric vehicle fee, punishing those who want to go green. And you're like going, well, what the hell is this? There's a new EV tax. With a stroke of a pen, New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy has unplugged the state's pro-electric vehicle position, signing into law the new EV road tax that it is the highest of its kind in the nation. Sorry, I screwed that up. But anyways, you guys get over it. Starting this July, New Jersey EV owners must pay an annual $250 road tax fee in an effort to offset the state's loss in tax revenue or tax fuel revenue. The fee will increase $10 for the next 4 years until it reaches $290 in 2028. To make matters worse, New Jersey requires buyers and leasers of all vehicles to pay 4 years of registration fees up front, and the new EV fee will be included on the initial payment. So therefore, bringing in July, any electric vehicle purchased and leased in New Jersey will cost $1,060 more than it does today. That's considerable damage, since the higher initial cost of electric vehicle is the biggest impediment to EV adoption, meaning you have to, you know, put the charger on the wall if you got one at your house and all that stuff. Buyers and leases of the new electric vehicles in New Jersey won't be smiling when they find out they need to shell out another over $1,000 before driving it off the lot. So they're getting you up front. So what if you, hear me out here. So what if you buy an electric vehicle, right? Are we on me? We're on me. You buy an electric vehicle, and what they say, 2028, so that's 4 years from now, you buy an electric vehicle, and let's say in 2 years, like, it's not me, or we're going a different direction in our lifestyle, I don't need to have an electric vehicle, and you turn that vehicle in. Well, shit, you've already paid for the next 2 years on this vehicle. How are they going to amend that? How are you going to get a credit? Are you going to get a credit on the next vehicle that you buy? If it's a regular gas powered or petrol powered or oil powered or what, a combustible engine or whatever they want to design or designate for the other vehicles, are they going to do that? That's something that they don't say in the article, but I'm interested to hear what you have to say about that. So just go over to profitradio.com at the bottom of the page, says be heard. Let's hear from you. Now, everyone's complaining about the border walls. Oh, we need to build a border. You know, we can't build a border. We're letting immigrants come in. People on the left say, bring them in. The people on the right go, no, keep them out. It's cost too much. We don't have enough money. It's, you know, half done here and not done there. You know, you build a wall that's 5 miles long over in Texas, and then on mile number six, there's like a big opening. So you're like going, what the fuck? You know, they've already walked 28, 29 miles to get to the border. 29, maybe, you know, being gracious there. They might have walked 100 miles to get there. They might have walked 500 miles to get there. And then they get to the border. They got to walk another 4 miles to get to the opening in the fence. Sure, they'll do that. Why not? But right now, this company right now, is called Sugarcrete, and just like concrete, but they use sugar. Now, with the whole entire, you know, they say sugar's bad and the whole production of, you know, sugar cane and all that stuff, and there's all this husk and everything left over with it. They're like going, well, what can we do with the husk that's left over with? And this company called Sugarcrete has got a brilliant idea. It's on a small scale, so it's going to take many years for this to happen or to come to fruition, but they have made these bricks out of sugar. Now, I'm going to switch to camera 4 so you can see this video in real time as we're talking about it here on the show. And the way you see that is go over to Deacon Live Podcast over on YouTube. So here we go. I got it. I know. Let me blow it up so we can see it. Here we go.
Bricks made from fibers from the sugarcane crop. The fibers are what's left over after sugar production. They're combined with a mineral binder to hold them together. They're then pressed into a brick-shaped mold. The bricks have an interlocking geometry and are held together.
So they're physically putting the husk into a mold, like they're manually doing it with their hands and stuff, like just like the Incas used to do when they were building bricks for whatever structure they were building. They make a mold and then packing all this husk and stuff in it, and then they're dipping it out. Now, the bricks that they're making look like they're a trapezoid type deal. So they're slanted, going to a flat surface on top, and then slanted to the bottom with a larger footprint on the bottom, and they're kind of like flipping them up and down, so they kind of interlock together, if you're like L7 type deal. I know, or an A and a V, that's the best way to say it. So if you got a letter A and letter V and you put them together, that's how they kind of lock together. So here we go with more of the video.
With steel rods.
So they you missed that part. I talked right over it. So they put steel rods connecting them all together. So they run a steel rod through the whole entire mechanism to hold them all together so they don't, you know, kind of freak out or whatever.
And are held together with steel rods. This structure can support up to 8 people or 600 kilograms. The bricks can be used to create walls, floors, or as insulation panels, and can help cut carbon emissions from the concrete industry, which is responsible for up to 8% of global carbon emissions.
It's not bad.
Makers of Sugarcrete say the slabs emit 20 times less CO2 than concrete bricks.
So there you go. Anyway, Sugarcrete bricks is what they're trying to do. They're concrete, 8%, you know, the emissions on the planet. The Sugarcrete's going to be less. I mean, the actual sugar plants is producing, let's say, 15%. Of the carbon emissions to process the sugar itself. Then they got this husk left over. Now they're taking the husk and they're like going, okay, what do we do this? We make the Sugarcrete. Boom. Now we're making bricks and it's less than the actual carbon emission than what they got out of it. Well, I hope they do well with that. It sounds like a great idea. Everyone's trying to come up with the next best thing to help the planet, and that is one there. Now, something that's coming up right now to help the planet is these these reborn babies. Now, reborn dolls just look like real life babies, and why should people buy them? May surprise you. First thing everyone's minds go to is the whole pedophilia type thing. Or if you want to teach, you know, a class or something, here's a newborn baby. These lifelike babies lie nestled in a nursery right now at Tracy Cope's Missouri home. Except the cribs and bassinets, they're not holding real babies, they're just dolls. Now you're like going, well, why does she have all these dolls at her house? What started as volunteer work for Bebe became a business. She now brings her 32 babies, sometimes 8 at a time, to dementia patients across Connecticut and Massachusetts. Research backs it up too. Doll therapy improves the emotional state of people dealing with dementia, diminishes disruptive behaviors, and promotes communications, according to this 2022 study. Now, oh my God, let me switch the camera. That is a weird looking baby. Look at that. That looks like a real baby. It's got the blue eyes. It's got the nice and shine. It's got the baby looking hair, the fingers and everything. It looks like a real baby. And I continue with the story. The benefits may not stop those with dementia, but for example, she has found out that the dolls bring her comfort and calm her down. When you hold a new reborn baby, and these are just dolls, the realism in the artistry of one of these things that draws you in, Cope says at 60 years old, then they are weighed like real babies, or weighted like real babies, so they are holding you and you're getting that whole maternal instinct from them. So what she found out is dealing with dementia patients, and they couldn't tell you what happened the next day or whatever like that. She found out that the mothers, women, for the most part, knew the if they had a child, knew the exact weight of their babies, or babies if they had several children, or grandbabies and so on and so forth. She's like, it's so weird that the mothers or the women who had children, even going through the most terrible points of dementia, knew the exact information of the babies or children that they had. So bringing this new reborn baby doll into therapy helps those women kind of reconnect with what's going on around them. And it just kind of stimulates those parts of the brain and hopefully fires some synapses to help bring them up to future stuff or present stuff that's going on. It's a new concept out there, but $6,000. Woo. I mean, those babies do look real, but Jesus Christ, $6,000. I'd rather forget everything. No, I was kidding. That's not good to say. All right, when we come back, this guy in Florida, leave it to Florida, was just sitting in his home smoking a cigarette, and a piece of space debris fell right through his roof and landed next to his kid. What that thing was, I'll tell you about it when we come back. So stick around. You're listening to Deacon Live right here on Prophet Radio. I'll be right back.
Hi, you're on Prophet Radio. Who is this?
What the hell are you doing, dude?
Is this Candace?
Candace who? Who am I speaking with, please?
This is
407-448-8800. Okay. Deacon Live now presents you another Bentley record creation. This is Zay Gotti with his latest song, Okay, Okay. For more information, check us out over at prophetradio.com.
I know thinking been put on me not to win, so I pop press while I stand on my 10. Know they been mad that I don't give too fuck about a nigga who relevant. Bro, bad when dudes looking different to work. Fuck a friendship, my money come first. All these men begin to pretend when they write in their verse. Ballers don't holler, I play for the Spurs. Okay, okay, okay. While I play for the Spurs, like I play for the Spurs. Okay, okay, okay. Like I play for the Spurs, okay, okay. While I play for the Spurs, okay, okay. Hey, talk down on the next man. We don't have no motion. Might mean me a light jacket. The way I've been flowing. Sit on my mind while it's growing. I know it's wet when I.
Welcome back to Deacon Live. You want something for free? Well, we will give you something for free, but you got to do something for me. You got to go over to Prophet Radio, PROPHETradio.com. Proud sponsors of Deacon Live and all the other fine broadcasting. If you're watching us here on the video, all those shows right there are broadcast right out of this studio. Thanks to Prophet Radio. So we appreciate them. And they want to say thank you for listening to all those fine programming. Go over to their website and click on free swag. Pick out whatever prize pack you want and we'll send it out to you. It's not an email grab. It's not a mailing grab or anything like that. It's just their way of saying thank you. And there's some pretty cool things over there. Pick those out and we'll send it out to you right away. We just sent out a bunch of stuff out to California. So we appreciate all our listeners out in California. We're having trouble getting a hold of the people up there in North and South Dakota. So if you got some friends up in North and South Dakota, send them my way or send us their way. Just copy the link, send it up to them and say, hey, look, check this guy out. He's really weird or whatever you want to say, or stay away from this guy. That's probably That's probably what it is up there in North Dakota. What the hell is that guy talking about? Now, my wife and I, we are going to be flying out of the Charlotte Douglas Airport here. It is an international flight, or international airport, I should say. And we're going to be flying into, we haven't decided yet if we're flying into Seattle. So all you Washingtonians up there, pay attention. Or we're going to fly into Vancouver. I think that's what's up there. But we are going to end up flying into Alaska or taking a cruise, 10-day cruise around Alaska, seeing all the different sites and stuff. And I think there's like four or five ports of call in Alaska on the Canadian and Alaskan border. So we're going to be doing that. But that's a long flight. Jesus, from Charlotte Douglas to Seattle, I think it's like 5.5 hours straight flight. No layovers or anything. And I think up to Vancouver might be another hour added to that. I'm not sure. So I've never been on a flight that long. I've always been on a flight like going out to California when I used to work out there. I actually to Las Vegas and then California. We'd fly into Phoenix, Las Vegas, and then boom, over to California. But that was my job. I had stuff to do. A straight flight for 5.5 hours? Oh, man. I can barely sit in this chair for an hour or 2 hours when it takes, when it's all said and done. Oh, man. Oh, I know. My back. I can already feel myself getting stiff thinking about this plane. Now, this plane here, though, coming out of Hawaii, Honolulu, Hawaii, an Alaska Airlines flight to Anchorage had to turn around after a malfunctioning bathroom. Flooded the whole entire cabin on a Boeing 737 MAX Jet 9. So pay attention out there. There's a reason why these Boeing planes are having issues left and right. The flight took off about 10:16 Friday, according to FlightAware, which I have on my phone. I highly recommend that if you're not familiar with that app. FlightAware tells you what's going on above your head. When the water began leaking about 90 minutes into the flight, the captain of the Alaskan Airlines Flight 828 decided to turn around, according to the Daily Mail. The plane landed back in Daniel K. Anui International Airport in about 2 hours and 18 minutes later after it took off from its initial flight. There was probably 2 or 4 inches of standing water that swooshed around when you opened the front door of the laboratory. So can you imagine you're sitting on this plane, right? And you're thinking the worst thoughts. Was I going to show you the video? I'll show you the video. Oh, let me go back to it. Give me a sec. I got to go back to the video. Because they've got, you know, of course, someone's taking a picture. Someone's taking a video of it. And I'm going to switch to camera 4 for this one. Here we go. Camera 4. And you can see this video in real time as we're talking about here, not the ad. So there's no real sound. You can just hear like... But the stewardesses and stuff are throwing down like paper towels. And it's not soaking wet. It's just damp. Like they just caught it in time. It's not flooded. Like those carnival cruises down in... Oh, God. They got napkins and paper towels all over the place. Oh, that's got to stink. Oh, that's got to stink. Switch back. All right. I got the gist of it. That's got to stink. Can you imagine? I mean, how often do they shampoo those carpets? You know, when you got a, we know here just having, being homeowners and stuff, if you got a leak in a carpet and those carpets haven't been washed in a while and you get that glue that starts rotting under there, that probably stunk. That probably smelled like garbage. Now, this guy right here, just hanging out, smoking a joint, probably living in Florida, living in Naples, Florida, actually, was just sitting there and all of a sudden something fell through his roof. Now, things are falling out of the air all the time. You know, we've got so much space junk up there floating around our planet. It's not uncommon to see something, you know, burn up in the atmosphere, and especially in Florida. I'm born and raised in Orlando, Florida, living here in Charlotte now. But it was nothing to see little debris. Oh, it's just a little debris. Our atmosphere will take care of it. Our natural garbage disposal will take care of that debris coming down. And then if NASA's got something that's too large out there, they'll send it out to, what is that, Operation Nemo, where it's like the furthest point from any landmass out there in the middle of the ocean. They're going to crash a satellite. Well, this was something that crashed through this guy's roof and through 2 floors at a 2-story house. So let me get this thing up and running here. Kevin Hart, thank you very much. So NASA investigates a strange object that fell from space and crashed through a Florida man's roof. A few weeks ago, a piece of debris fell through a Florida man's roof, going through 2 floors in his Naples home, before coming to a rest near his son. Of course, it's near his son. They just said that. Oh, anything's near his son. Could have landed 4 miles away. It was near my kid. So for more on the story, we'll go to camera four and we can all watch this in real time as we're talking about it here. So here we go.
What is this strange object? Well, at the moment, no one is 100% sure, but they're fairly certain it fell from space. A few weeks ago, a piece of debris fell through a Florida man's roof, going through two floors of his Naples home before coming to rest near his son. The man named Alejandro Otero posted on X that he believes it was a piece of a battery pellet that was jettisoned from the International Space Station in 2021. It was meant to re-enter Earth's atmosphere and burn up on March 8th. The very same day, it came crashing into his home. NASA has since released a statement saying, quote, NASA collected an item in cooperation with the homeowner and will analyze the object at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida as soon as possible to determine its origin. Astrophysicist Jonathan McDowell has already made an assertion that while the battery pellet was meant to burn up over Fort Myers, Naples could have been along the way. So
sure.
What went wrong? And how could NASA have made such an error? Well, an expert at Ars Technica said that the battery pellet was actually launched by Japan's space agency, not only making the pellet's re-entry more complicated, but perhaps also determining liability for damages.
All right, so they're saying this battery pellet. All right, got it. Thank you very much, NASA people. We appreciate you. They're saying that this is a battery pellet. And you think, all right, what's a battery pellet? They show the picture like it's the size of a freaking like a propane tank or something like that. But then you look at the hole in the ceiling and it's probably the size of a, like if you were to take a D battery, you know, a D battery. What are batteries? Do we have batteries anymore? No, we're all going, well, we are going global. But like a NiCad D battery that you used to have in your boombox back in the 80s, you know, 20D energizes. And then it looked about that big, but when they do the close up of the picture, it looked like a freaking propane tank. So this battery somehow made its way through the atmosphere and landed in this guy's home right next to his son. His son was just sitting there eating his Cheerios. Da-da. Battery coming right at me. Now, Coca-Cola, I'm not a big Coca-Cola fan. I'm not a big soda drinker, I guess is where I'm going with this. But there are something out there that they're doing with Coca-Cola, that freestyle thing. A lot of people live and die by that freestyle. Do you have the freestyle? Do you have the Coca-Cola freestyle? Oh, yeah, we do. Come on in. And then, you know, everyone's out there. And if you don't know what the freestyle is, basically it's 70 different sodas. And then every soda has a different flavor. So, for example, you want a regular Coke. You can have Coke with vanilla and Coke with orange and Coke with strawberry and Coke with cherry and Coke with grape. And blah, 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 blah. And it just goes around this whole pendulum of all the different flavors. And then they have Sprite and then Sprite this and Sprite that. And then sometimes you'll find them. They got Surge in there. You know, the old 90s soft drink. I love Surge. But they've got a Surge Zero. I always get that sometimes when I go in there. Just be nostalgic. It's like this neon green goo looking stuff. My wife goes, oh, look, they got Surge. But now there's another kind of freestyle that's coming out. Is it something that we actually need? I don't know. But many fast food restaurants have soft serve dispensers or soft drink dispensers, just like I said. Now, there's a new similar dispenser that's coming out right now for condiments. BurgerFi recently announced a partnership with Heinz, which allows diners to test out the Heinz Remix machine, which can dispense over 200 different sauce combinations. Do we really need this? I guess so in some places. How many different combinations do you need? Ketchup, mustard, mayo, maybe sriracha, maybe jalapeno mustard, mayo, I guess it, now I'm, my list is getting longer. Olive oil mayo, mayo chup, mustard chup, all the other different things that they're combining together. And I guess BurgerFi is starting to do that right now. BurgerFi is the first brand to have Heinz Remix. It will debut in a Lauderdale by the Sea, Florida location. The company says that it will dispense, will eventually be installed at 4 other locations in Florida. Of course, Florida, you know, us. The dispenser uses Heinz products like ketchup, mayo, ranch, and barbecue sauce as its basis. Customers can also add enhancers such as jalapeno, buffalo, mango, and adjust the intensity levels as well. You could be making a high-intensity buffalo mayo on your burger to pair with a low-intensity mango ranch for your french fries. As a brand, we all know that guests are looking for unique dining experiences, and there is nothing more distinctive than being able to create your own sauce flavor profile that is custom to your craving. The CEO says, Carl Buckman, we're excited for this new restaurant showcase and the Heinz Remix machines at the Lauderdale by the Sea locations and eager to learn more about our guests and the changing tastes through time. So here's what I think is going to happen. Hear me out here. They are going to put this machine in there And they're going to go, okay, instead of hiring test people and all this other stuff to figure out what's, you know, and test, you know, what do you like here and all the, you know, test kitchens and all that, they're just going to put a machine in there and they're going to just keep track of what's dying out, what combinations are. It's going to spit out. You want to talk about giving over your information. You know, everyone's worried about TikTok. Companies are doing it on a lower level that you're not even thinking about. This Heinz machine, this Heinz remix machine, is going to tell them exactly what to produce next as what you get in your grocery stores and stuff. That's what they're going to tell you. But, you know, it's still kind of cool. I do it sometimes here at the house. My wife's like, ooh. I'm like, going, come on, you just got to try a little bit. All right, when we come back, speaking of airplanes, this woman was told to get off this airplane because she didn't have a bra on. And you're like going, well, what's wrong with that? It's just a weird story. And I have some opinions about it as well. Of course I do. That's part of the show. So stick around. You're listening to Deacon Live right here on Prophet Radio. I'll be right back.
Ye energizer?
D, motherfucker, D. Learn to speak English first, all right? D.
How many you say?
20, motherfucker, 20.
Honey.
What the fuck are you?
And now it's time for Lessons Learned with
Jason.
Jesus Christ, Jay.
Howell.
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin.
I'm a grown-ass man.
Jason Howell.
Jason Howell.
Jason Howell.
Now, didn't you take, like, airborne or anything?
No, that's for wussies. That stuff doesn't work.
But, no, I mean,
the plane was a little two-prop plane. It didn't even have where the sunshade goes down on it. It didn't have none of that. It was so old.
So you,
it was just,
where'd you fly out of? Miami or Fort Lauderdale? Where'd you fly out
Orlando.
Of? Orlando.
Orlando. I was there.
All the way to the Bahamas.
Yeah, it's only an hour and a half flight, but it took us 6 hours to get there. Imagine that.
What?
Because it was delayed. They're a bikini. They were leaving. They said, oh, man, we just checked our oxygen bottle on board. It's expired.
So
we have to switch it out.
So nobody.
Well, has it got a time on the oxygen bottle that it went out, or is it all day thing? The flight wasn't until 6 o'clock at night, so you guys have been flying back and forth, obviously. And now someone's going to realize, oh, the oxygen bottle's expired.
They just found out.
Yeah, just found out. Oh, it'll be 5 minutes. I'm like, this is going to be an hour and a half.
So like,
hour and a half later.
So shift change came in, and the guy who actually did his job comes in, you know, new guy. He's like going, all right, I'm going to check everything on this list. All right, pillars intact. Wheels, good. Oxygen tank, no, no, no. The pilot's like freaking out. He's like going, come on, man. Come on. Really, honestly.
407-448-8800.
You're listening to
Deacon Live.
Deacon Live.
Deacon Live.
Welcome back to Deacon Live. Make sure you follow us on all your social networks. And the way you do that is go over to Prophet Radio, proud sponsors of Deacon Live. That's PROPHET radio.com. At the top of the page says social contacts. You can see all the stuff that links us to you and you to us as well. We are available on Instagram. We're available on TikTok. We're available on any platform that you download podcasts. Just search Deacon Live, all one word. I know if you're listening to us now, but you can share to all your friends over there in North Dakota, in South Dakota. I think Wyoming, I think we're missing some people over there in Wyoming. So make sure you share us over there. Pass us along, and we appreciate that as well. And while you're over at Prophet Radio, get yourself something for free just to say our way of saying thank you for doing the little share and stuff. Now, I drink Busch Light just because it's cheaper. It gets me where I need to be type deal. But I was just went downstairs to get a refill and stuff and during the break, and I was like looking at them like going, the tackle box pack, they come out with this every year, like fishing season. I just don't understand. It says collector's edition. Anyone out there that drinks this stuff, is there a need for a collector's edition? I don't know. It's just a weird thing I kind of look at, and I'm like going, all right, and show it up here to the camera. So, I just thought I threw it out there. You know, oh my God, the new collector's edition's here. We have to go get it. It seems like every other 3 months or so, they got some kind of collector's edition out there. Now, I was telling you earlier that my wife and I are deciding to go to Alaska. I think we're going to go around May. It's got to be May. Either late May or early June. I don't know. She's got some horse training stuff or horse competitions that she does. She's got some horse shows that's coming up, so I don't want to interfere with that. 10 days. 10 days flying through the air and then on a boat for 8 days. And I think we're going to take 2 days in Seattle or 2 days in Vancouver. Just kind of, you know, kiss the hard ground for a couple days before we get on a boat for another 8 days, you know, that type deal. But I was thinking to myself, when's the last time or next time I'm going to be in Seattle or Vancouver? So let's see the town and stuff. So we'll get there a little early and then ride the boat and then come back, I guess. Now, this woman right here was just on a flight, not the one that had the water and stuff. She was on a Delta Airlines flight, and this passenger, Lisa Archbold, was going from Salt Lake City to San Francisco. Okay, that's what, a two-hour flight? That's not bad. It's like flying from Charlotte Douglas here up to New York. It's like an hour and a half, two-hour flight. It's a short flight. She was told that the flight crew and the gate person took issue with her clothing. A loose white t-shirt was what she was wearing, along with pants and all that other stuff, shoes and stuff. The incident was in January, but received some media attention, but Archibald is now looking for legal representation. Her attorney, Gloria Allred, you know, that prime specimen of a attorney, is representing her with these allegations. Let me explain what happened. Archibald said that the employee told her that her outfit was too offensive and revealing. She was allowed to reboard the plane after putting on a button-up shirt that she had to tie around her waist. I was targeted and humiliated, Archibald said. It felt like a scarlet letter had been attached to me. She also added, I wore the same clothing that any man might wear. I also have a chest smaller than any man on that flight. Where does Delta draw the line? Am I right? I mean, as far as like the, where does Facebook draw the line? As far as the pictures I post and the pictures of the one lady, the dance lady with half her boob hanging out. Where do they draw the line? In her letter, Allred questioned about wearing a t-shirt without a bra, a line with Delta's policy that removal could be necessary if the person's clothing caused an unreasonable risk of offensive and annoyance. She requested a meeting with the Delta's president, Glenn Hoshenstein, to discuss the practical solution. The Delta Airlines spokesperson told Business Insider they will contact her and offer her a custom apology for her. So look at it this way. If she's on a flight, right? Okay, so here comes Miss Loose Boobs. She says she's got a small bra size. So even if she's got like an A or B cup, and she's got no bra on and a t-shirt. You ever been on a flight? Once someone sits in those seats, you don't see, all you see is ponytails and headphones, you know, on the back of everyone's behind, you know, if you're people in front of you, and same thing with the people behind you. That's all you see. Unless she's physically bouncing up and down in the plane. Now, the people in her row might not see it, but I don't know about you. I don't sit there in the plane and go like this. If you're looking at me on the YouTube video here, I don't sit here and go like this. Down each row, looking, it makes absolute sense. When you sit in those seats, you almost visually make this imaginary cubicle around you, unless you're sitting with like a boyfriend or a husband or something like that, or a spouse, and that is your bubble. You don't sit there and look around, oh, look at her, boobies, you know, that type of stuff. And if she says, for the most part, if she said she had a smaller chest than half the men on the flight, I guess, are we there? Are we that lowbrow? We're like going, ooh, that's the boobies. That type deal. So, and she's not going to get anything. Yes, they said, hey, look, put on a shirt. I don't know who was in the right there. We'd love to hear from you. Go over to Prophet Radio, hit the Be Heard section. I'd like to hear your response on that. Now, these people right here were just out in Florida. I know, here we go, Florida, my hometown. I say hometown. Born and raised in Orlando, Florida, lived there until 2014. And, moved up here to Charlotte, North Carolina, so we've been up here for about 10 years now, almost 11 years. I've never been on an airboat tour. It is typically a Florida thing. Now, I think they got a little bit more in, around Louisiana. They do airboats and stuff. But for the most part, when you hear airboat, you think Florida Everglades, because there's no way for you to get out there around in a regular boat with an inboard outboard floating around all these, you know, weed infested and gator infested waters. Now, unfortunately, An airboat tour took a wrong turn and capsized, sending all the passengers overboard this past Friday. This happened when the airboat driver took a sharp turn to try to see an alligator in the water. You don't have to take a sharp turn. Just keep driving another 2 seconds. You'll see another alligator, I swear. According to multiple reports, Miami-Dade Fire Rescue sent 3 units responding to the waterway near Cooperstown. The original airboat tour in the Everglades Friday afternoon. According to the Federal Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, 9 people were on board of this boat, and the operator fell into the water when the boat took a quick right turn. By the time the MDFR arrived, everyone had climbed out of the water and only one patient was treated for serious injuries at the scene. So why are we having a story about this? This is why. The boat's operator was arrested by the Florida Wildlife and said that he did not have the proper documentation necessary to operate this boat. His employer, Coopertown, did not immediately respond to the USA Today's request for commenting this past Monday. Here you are on this boat. If you don't know what an airboat is, man, those things fly. It's basically, you ever seen like World War II planes and they physically have to take the propeller and go, and they fire it up? That's what's on the back. How redneck is this vehicle? They put a piece of sheet metal and strap it to this airplane engine. This, I forget what the, some of them are like a Cummins, some of them are like a Rolls-Royce diesel engine with a propeller on the back of it, and they got some kind of chicken wire around it so you don't stick your hand in the blades, you know, like most retards would do. And they fly across the friggin' Everglades. You skip across the top of the water. So when you take a slight turn or something like that, believe it or not, the forces of water feels like concrete. You're flying at, 80, 90 miles an hour, and you took a right-hand turn. If you don't hit that just right, bam, you hit it, and it's like hitting a glass wall or, like I said, a pile of concrete. And everyone got back in the boat, and I guess the biggest story was that the guy didn't have an operator's license. Do you need an operator's license? I guess if you're a commercial person, you would have some kind of operator's license. But get me on an airboat. First of all, you can't hear anything. Because you got this big, it's like sticking your head underneath a Mack truck and driving, 100 miles. You can't hear anybody. So everyone's got the headphones on, just like me. And next, you're looking for a gator. Oh, there's a gator over there. Whee! No, there's another gator over there. Oh, well. Now, these people weren't saying we at all. They were kind of pissed off. Now, do they have right to be? Let's dive into this story. Again, here we go. Oh, Jesus Christ. Stranded Norwegian cruise liner passengers missed the ship by more than an hour, the company says. Oh, God. Here I am talking about flying out to the West Coast and getting on a cruise ship. I couldn't plan this episode a little bit better if I could or tried. At least 6 Americans and 2 Australian passengers were stranded on an African island when the Norwegian cruise liner sailed off without them, have returned to the vessel to continue their African trip voyage. As the cruise line revealed, the group caused their travel headaches over the past few days by missing their departure time by over an hour. 8 passengers reaborted the ship, making a 20-day journey across the Africa this past Tuesday morning. Kurt Geis, the son-in-law of an elderly woman who was left behind by the ship after she suffered a stroke on the tour. Oh, my God. Now, I feel it a little bad. Also says that he received text messages from one of the group members. Jill Campbell says that her husband reaborted the ship but not have spoken with anyone yet at guest services on the Norwegian Cruise Line. The only thing that we have received so far is a small note from the food and beverage director with 6 little treats left in her room in our stateroom. The crew had to race through several different countries in 48 hours to meet the ship in Senegal? On Tuesday. But by the time the South Carolina couple Jill and Jay Campbell arrived in the country, they said they weren't even sure whether they even wanted to get back on the ship or not. So let me give you the key points of what actually happened. 8 Norwegian cruise passengers, included a pregnant woman and an elderly man with a heart condition, were stranded on the African island without money or vital medicines after the vessel left port without them. A spokesperson said that the cruise liner claimed that the passengers were left on the island on their own or with a private tour and missed the all aboard time by over an hour. Americans Jill Campbell and her husband, Jay Campbell, said that they were unsure whether they even wanted to resume the 20-day voyage on the Norwegian cruise line after they forgot their basic duties and cares. 8 passengers raced through several different countries in a span of over 48 hours to make to Senegal, which the company docked Tuesday morning. It's just like the movies. Hey, we got to go this way. How many? We got to go in 48 hours. Doug and Viola Sanders, the stranded Australian couple, had spoken out about their ordeal, saying that it was the worst experience of their life. Julie Lenkoff, 80, suffered a stroke during the excursion on the crew and was left alone and helpless to find her way back to the United States, according to her family. So, I mean, there's got to be a way to connect to or contact the main guy, the captain. Hey, I know they scan everyone's thing when they go off and scan, 48 people off, 48 people on, 49 people off, 49 coming up. And then they have to go, okay, we have to wait. But at what point do you go, okay, it's an hour. Where are these people at? We still have, we have to meet docks and stuff like that. Planes are late all the time. Why can't ships be late all the time? And I agree with the people that were stranded there. Hey, look, they didn't explain why all of them were late, but 8 people were late getting back to the all call time or whatever like that. I don't know. It just seems really, really weird why 4 or 5 different groups of people, couples, singles, individuals, were all late coming back to the boat. Now, granted, I know the one person had a stroke and stuff, but can you imagine trying to, we got to get back to the other. I'd say, fuck it. Nope. I'd go, nope, we're taking a plane back home, just like in the movies. You know, we're taking a plane back home. We're going to get a refund and then file a really good international law attorney somewhere around there. All right, when we come back, they're not using horses anymore for this event. What they traded out for is really, really interesting, and we're going to have that video for you, so make sure you jump on over to YouTube right now, and you can see this video in real time as we're talking about it. Stick around. You're listening to Deacon Live right here on Prophet Radio. I'll be right back.
Anyone can struggle with mental health. Your daughter, your neighbor across the street, your boss, maybe even you. We want you to know there's hope, because there's 988. 988 is more than a number. It's a lifeline to call or text when you need help and don't know where to turn.
Hello, you've reached the National Suicide and Crisis Lifeline.
Call or text 988 day or night to get the help you deserve.
Prophet Radio. Prophet
Radio. You know what a pink belly is, right?
Pink belly?
Yeah.
No.
Like when you give someone a pink belly.
Okay.
Okay. And you know what a purple nurple is.
Right.
You know what a wedgie is or a Melvin, depending on what side of the country
right.
you're on.
Right.
You ever heard of giving someone a horse-eating corn?
No.
You know what it is?
No.
It's an Indian bird. Someone said, oh, give someone a horse-eating corn. And I'm like, what is that? What is that? It's bad to say Indian bird or horse-eating corn. I'm like, I've never heard the horse-eating corn.
Call 407-448-8800.
Zero, zero. Hold on.
8800.
Amy's breaking into the beer.
Beep, beep.
Does it have to be human?
Beep, beep.
Does it have to be mine?
Feed me!
Where am I supposed to get it?
Feed me, Seymour. Feed me all night long.
That's right, boy!
You can do it!
Feed Welcome back to... Oh, God! Oh, yeah! Welcome back to Deacon Live. You want to be heard? Of course you do. We want to hear from you as well. Hopefully you can speak a lot clearer and a lot louder than I can. The way you do that is go over to Prophet Radio, proud sponsors of Deacon Live. At the bottom of the page says Be Heard. Click on that little device there. Opens up a microphone. You can speak right into it. You can be anonymous if you want. We'd love to hear from you. We broadcast every Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time right here in the Charlotte Douglas area. Jesus Christ, fucked all that up. We broadcast just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, in a little town called Marshville. We'd love to hear from you. And also, if you want to follow us on YouTube, that's great. For every podcast we do, I have a matching video. You can see all the stuff that goes on here in the studio. When I say goes on here, we have a lot of visuals and stuff. When we talk about a story, if there's a picture or a video or anything like that, you can see it in real time as we're talking about it here on the air. And if you'd like to get something for free, our way of saying thank you for all the fine broadcasting that comes out of the Prophet Radio studio, pick out whatever swag pack you want, and we'll mail it out to you. It's not an email grab. It's not a money grab or anything like that. It's just our way of saying thank you for listening to us and being a part of the Deacon Live show. Now, I'm trying to eat better. I'm trying to do a lot better. I'm still working on the Whole 30 diet. My wife and I have said a million times already during this show, we're getting ready to go to Alaska, and it's in May, late May, early June. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, we haven't been eating well. We've been doing bad. We had hamburgers the other day for Easter weekend, but we've been steering off the Whole 30 diet. Now, normally I have avocados and eggs and tomatoes for breakfast, and then I have some kind of like chicken breast or chicken thigh or something like that with a baked potato with nothing on it, nothing on the baked potato except a little bit of salt and a little bit of like hot sauce. You can do hot sauce because there's no sugar in it. I was, my dad lives with us, as you guys know, and he was sitting on the back porch and he was on the phone with his doctor. and they're going to, and I try not to eavesdrop, but you know, he's 77, going to be 78 years old this June. So you kind of listen to make sure that he's saying stuff and what the questions are. And you just want to make sure that you're just keeping that toe in the water over there. I guess they were messing. He was having a conversation about the doctor having messed up some of his medication or something. And one of the questions that I heard distinctively, I could care less what they were talking. Oh, 50 milligrams of the cibostimulamin. Are you still taking that? Yes. And you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I heard, as I'm walking away from him, I heard the person on the phone from his doctor's office go, are you eating vegetables? Are you getting enough vegetables in your diet? And I just went, ha! Started laughing. And my dad gave his whatever excuse was. I was walking away from him at the time, so I missed that. But I like to eat vegetables. I can eat a whole can of carrots. You know, the carrots in a can, I know you're like, ooh, I can eat carrots. I love them, love them, love them. Green peas, love them too. But right now, studies have shown that in 2004, Donald Davis and fellow scientists of the University of Texas made an alarming discovery that 43 foods, mostly vegetables, show a mark of decrease of nutrition between the late 20th century and to now. According to that research, calcium in green beans dropped from 65 to 37 milligrams. Vitamin A levels plummeted by mostly half in asparagus, broccoli stalks, and then have also less iron. The nutrition loss has continued since that study. More researchers have documented a decline in nutritional value in some staple crops due to the rising atmospheric carbon dioxide levels. In 2018, a study that tested rice found that higher CO2 levels reduce its protein, iron, and zinc content. The climate has only accelerated recent concerns about crops' nutrition and value. This prompted an emergency of the process called biofortification, the strategy to replace lost nutrients or those food that have never had it in the first place. So biofortification encompasses multi-technologists, one involving genetic modification of crops to increase nutritional content, in which for rapid introduction of new traits. Other ergonomic biofortification utilizes nutrient-rich fertilizers or also soil amendments to concentrate particular minerals in plants. Selective plant breeding can also produce varieties that can also take decades more to yield a single variety. So what they're saying is the biofortification is one of two things. It's the alternative to fortification. Now, fortification has been in the food system since the 1920s, which means basically, for example, boosting table salt with iodine to reduce conditions related to mineral deficiencies such as a goiter. Biofortification is plus nutrients directed into the seed as opposed to fortification, which adds nutrients to the food once it's grown. So they're trying to make sure that the DNA in the seed is making sure that whatever it produces is more healthier than let the seed grow and then add whatever to the soil for the plant to take in. So what they're saying is, because of this whole internal food policy research, because of the climate change in iron and zinc have dipped below 30% and 40% due to the excessive rainfall, cold, and physical damage, Harvest Plus is an organization where it provides global leadership in the biofortification evidence and technology. It is currently working on governments in more than 30 countries. And so by 2030, organizations estimate that 1 billion people will benefit from the biofortified foods. We're about 20 years into a 40-year program, says Gene Walton, head of the commercialization of scaling of Harvest Plus. So are we supposed to be here on this planet? I don't know. I don't know. They're talking about, you know, we grew too fast and we built it too fast. Our infrastructure got too fast. We forgot to feed everyone. And now everyone's in a panic. You know, do we need to be on this planet? Do we as humans need to be on this planet? Because if there's not enough food and stuff, no wonder we're sending, you know, things into Mars and things into space and all that stuff, because we are killing ourselves for the most part, but we can't control it. I physically cannot control whoever makes my food, you're trusting them to make sure that, you know, green beans and stuff like that. And then you go, okay, you hear my dad talking about, I need to eat more vegetables, or the doctor saying he needs to eat more vegetables, but why can't he? He can't. I answer that truthfully. Yes, I can eat more vegetables, but the vegetables aren't the vegetables from, you know, 1920s. And it's true. It's like the weed that they make in the 1960s. It's not the same as the weed that they do now. If they could just take that same concept and make our food by doing biofortification, then there you go. Problem solved. Problem solved. But if you smoke weed, you eat a lot. Now, my wife and I have horses. I say my wife and I. My wife has horses. I pet the horses. good big doggy. Good big doggy. You know, now I know there's a lot of people that in some states, greyhound racing has gone away. They don't want to abuse the dogs and stuff. And I know in some fields and stuff, there's too much money in it. But unfortunately, people don't like the Kentucky Derby or horse racing and stuff because the horses are, you know, 2-3 years old and they're putting their body through all this stress and everything. Now, down the road from us, I forget what they're called, but they're, you ever seen horse races where they have the guy in a cart, like a chariot, and he's sitting there and there's a horse pulling him? Well, we have a farm down the road from us, like 2 miles, 3 miles down the road, that breed those horses. Cart racing, I think is what it is. And that's all they do. And so they've got like at any given time, they have 50 horses out there and 30 babies. And they you know, they turn and burn and sell them and all that stuff. And they make a good killing down there. But this company right here is taking the whole chariot or cart racing to a new level. Now, if you want to see this video, make sure you go over to Facebook right now and see this video in real time as we're talking about it here. I want to see if I can blow this up. Can I blow this up? It's called the chariot racing, but what they're doing is they've got two motorcycles on the front instead of horses. And their steering wheel, the handlebars, are connected by a steel rod. And the drivers have these LED ropes that pull, you know, you pull on the left, both of the motorcycle's steering, front steering, turns to the left. And then if they have to overcorrect, they'll pull on the right and so on and so forth. So if you want to see this video in real time, go over to Profit Radio, go over to YouTube, and you can see this video in real time as we're talking about here. So here we go. Oh, I'm going to get flagged for the song. So they're still standing, like from Ben-Hur, they're still standing in a cart, and they've got two motorcycles. I don't know what CCs they are, but they are literally racing each other. Here we go. Yeah, they've got a, they're flying next to each other. Oh my God, watch out. He's turning sideways. Now, I only see two of them. So there's a green one and a red one, and they're flying around the track here. I don't know if it's a whole race in itself, but it's interesting. They're flying around with these two motorcycles. It might be more of a gimmick than anything. All right. Thank you very much there, Motley Crue. All right, guys. On that note, if you want to see any of the videos and all that stuff that we've been doing here on the program, go over to YouTube. Make sure you like and subscribe over there. It's not a money grab over on YouTube. We just do it for another avenue for you to be part of the show. And if you want to be part of the show at any time, go to profitradio.com. At the bottom of the page says Be Heard. Click on that. Opens up a microphone. We broadcast every Wednesday at 12 o'clock Eastern Standard Time over here on the East Coast in Charlotte, North Carolina. So you can be part of the show. Get those in now. And we'll play it on the very next podcast as well. All right, guys. On that note, I'm going to let you get back to doing what you're going to do. My name is The Deacon, saying goodnight and goodnight.
Wait. Come back.
The end. The absolute end.
Écoute-moi.